Good morning. God bless you. This is Bob Linfelt. Great to be with you this wonderful day, the day of Pentecost. Looking forward to sharing some things with you that I've titled Pentecost Insights. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think people really realize how huge or significant the day of Pentecost really is. I believe a lot of Christians recognize it, but don't realize what really happened and the great truths that were made available to God's people. You know, it was God's dream of dreams to have an intimate relationship with his man. And that's how he started things on the day of Pentecost, or in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. He put the Spirit, his Spirit in man, Spirit, soul, and body. So now he's able to do this on a permanent level. So I know people are excited about the death or the birth and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and we have special days that we recognize that, and they are important. But the day of Pentecost represents the results or the fruit of Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. All those things were done to lead us to a point that God could impart on his people the great truth and reality that they could be born again of Holy Spirit, permanent, eternal Holy Spirit. And I think this is the most magnificent reality that man could ever realize or participate in, being born again with the eternal Spirit from God Almighty. Nothing comes close to being born again with that Holy Spirit. So I know this is the day of days that God dreamed about for thousands of years since the fall of man. You know, in the beginning, Adam had that spiritual relationship with his Father God, but lost that connection. And thankfully, God moved in a way to legally redeem man and open the family of God by way of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, making the new birth available on this wonderful day of Pentecost. What happened on the day of Pentecost opened a new and convenient way for God to be with his man. Man now had the Spirit of God permanently in him and could access God at any time by speaking in tongues. Before that, any close access that man could have was the high priest once a year. So now, any and every born-again believer has that full and complete access to the Heavenly Father 24/7. The magnitude of the greatness of what the new birth brought to man on Pentecost was later revealed in God's Word. It was a secret, a mystery that God made known later on in the church epistles, and he explained it as a mystery, a secret, that he had and kept only to himself before the world began, but for our glory. You know, it's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, that if the devil spirits would have known this secret, this mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Man, oh man, that's pretty serious. That's heavy. Mm. And the results of that secret being held by God is that you and I today can have fellowship with the Heavenly Father, with the eternal Spirit in us, this gift of Holy Spirit in us. We're in his family. We're in the family of God. We've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. What a great reality. You know, think about it. Because of Pentecost, we have the beginning of Christianity, the one body of Christ. Think about it. Because of Pentecost, we have the gift of Holy Spirit with 9 manifestations. Think about it. Because of Pentecost, we have the beginning of the hope of Christ's return. But, you know, really, I guess that really, that promise was given at the Ascension, wasn't it? 10 days earlier. But man, oh man, to have the hope of Christ's return. Now that's fantastic. And then, of course, on the day of Pentecost, God introduced a brand new manifestation, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, a new way to magnify God, a new way to have intercessory prayer for the other believers, a new way to speak to God, a new way of giving thanks well, a new way to worship God in the Spirit. Yes, Pentecost is very, very special. And so I thought this morning I would look at some insights about Pentecost to help us appreciate this very incredible day. So my goal is to, in doing this, is to build for you how immense and magnificent Pentecost is to the Christian believer today. And I'd like to share three insights on Pentecost that I want to share with you. That as I share these three things, and I could share many things about it, but these three are the ones I want to share with you this morning. Number one, when did Pentecost occur? Number two, where did the outpouring of the Holy Spirit occur? And number three, what took place on the day of Pentecost that forever changed the accessibility for man to God? Now, God introduced the birth of Christianity not on some nondescript day, but he did it on a very special day that was of great significance and meaning. Now, back in the day, Israel celebrated three major feasts during the year. These all revolved around special days of harvest. The first one was the harvest that corresponded with the Feast of Unleavened Bread and was the barley harvest. And it commemorated the exodus from Egypt. And in the future, it illustrates the resurrection of Christ as the first fruits from the dead. The second harvest of the year was the wheat harvest and was called Pentecost, so named because it's 50 days after the first harvest. Now, this prefix pen signifies five. You know, we have a military building in Washington, D.C. called what?
Pentagon.
The Pentagon. Why? Because it has five sides to it. Pentecost was traditionally believed by the Judeans to mark the time when God first revealed the law to Israel at Mount Sinai. The future event illustrated was giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, first fruits of the Spirit. And then the third major feast was called the Feast of Tabernacles. It celebrated the final harvest, including the harvest of grapes, being the end of the agricultural year. It commemorated God's watchful care over Israel during 40 years in the wilderness. The future event celebrated was the resurrection of the just and the unjust, which is the harvest at the end of the world. It's the last harvest. God's remarkable timing of significant events by him is really astonishing. How he utilized certain dates to announce his incredible works is amazing. I'd like to share a segment from the book Jesus Christ, Our Passover by Dr. Victor Paul Weerwolf. And he says, the three harvest times are also deeply significant. Jesus Christ was resurrected as the first harvest during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, being the first fruits from the dead. Then at Pentecost, that same year, Christianity began, in which believers are a harvest having the first fruits of the Spirit. We are kind of a first fruits of God's creation. We are in this age of grace, have the first fruits of the Spirit, And we will meet Christ in the air when he returns to finally gather us together. The final complete harvest will be at the return of Christ when all are resurrected. God's word describes this as the harvest at the end of the world. End of quote. So God did not start Christianity, the fruit of all that Christ accomplished on our behalf, on some obscure date and time. God timed it perfectly for us to recognize the perfection of his work. No other day of the year would have been more significant than to start the one body of Christ than on the day of Pentecost. All right? So we've covered number one, right? When it happened. Happened on the day of Pentecost. Where did it happen? Where was the outpouring of the new birth spirit? Where did it take place? Now you ask most Christians this question, and what do you think the answer is going to be?
The upper room,
right, where the apostles lived or abode. The location of this colossal event of Pentecost having taken place in the sleeping quarters of the apostles really doesn't fit. There were people visiting from around the civilized world there, as well as about 3,000 souls that got saved that same day. I don't think this could have happened in an upper room. Now, the one verse that has tripped people's thinking on this is Acts 2:2, which says they were in the house where they were sitting. From that statement, it appears the event of Pentecost occurred in a house, which had maybe an upper room. Now, it does say in Acts 1:13 that the apostles went up into the upper room where they abode. So these are the connections that people make for the day of Pentecost being having occurred at this upper room. So why could not the Pentecost experience happen in an upper room where they did abode? Well, number one, by the customs of their times, women would not be allowed in the sleeping quarters of men. And when the outpouring occurred of the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues, right? There were many different people from different nations that heard them speak in their language, which they understood. Now, how did these large number of folks squeeze into the upper room to hear this? And then, of course, after Peter preached his wonderful sermon, as recorded in chapter 2 there, some 3,000 souls were won. That's got to be a huge upper room. Now, here's why Pentecost occurred in the temple where everyone was gathered for the Pentecost celebration. Several verses indicate the apostles spent their time in the temple, not so much in the upper room, which really was their sleeping quarters. Luke 24, verses 51 through 53 mentioned that just after the ascension of Jesus Christ, they were, quote, continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Also, there were designated times of prayer at least three times a day. Acts 1:14 declares they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Now, that couldn't happen in the upper room. We know that by custom. But this would happen in the temple area. Okay? Then, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says they were all with one accord in one place. And that would be at the temple, which was commonly called the house of God or the house of prayer. You know, we just heard this song that Barney played for us, and we use the term schoolhouse or courthouse or God's house. I thought that was interesting because many times we would call the temple or the place that God was is the house of God, the house of prayer. And many times it's referred to the temple or the place of worship. The visitors from different nations would not be hanging out in the upper room but at the temple area. And remember, many different nationalities heard the language when the apostles spoke in tongues. Also, it was 9 a.m., according to Acts chapter 2, verse 15, when the outpouring occurred and people heard speaking in tongues. This was a time of prayer. They would not be hanging out in the upper room. God's special day of revealing the greatest gift man could ever have, the new birth gift of Holy Spirit, would not occur in some upstairs bedroom, but in the temple where the presence of God was located. And remember what had happened to the veil separating the Holy of Holies from the people. It was ripped in two, right? At the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Great significance there that the access to God was made available through the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we know when it happened and where it happened. Number three, we know when Pentecost occurred during one of the major feasts, and we know that it occurred at the temple. So the one great act of Pentecost that we recognize is the giving of the gift of the eternal Holy Spirit to each and every believer. Pretty neat situation here. You being filled with Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of God's dream of dreams. You are now His new creation in Christ. You are His Son, a child of the Most High. He has filled you with His inheritance. God gave us a new manifestation that makes being a Christian believer exciting, and that is speaking in tongues. And let's talk about speaking in tongues, because this was that new manifestation of Holy Spirit that occurred. On this momentous day, God produced an awesome, powerful resource for the believer to utilize. Speaking in tongues that God gave man, that they had an assurity of their birth. It was the proof of the inner reality of the gift of Holy Spirit residing within. Of all the things that God could have done to highlight this most incredible day, He produced this whole new manifestation of the Spirit speaking in tongues. Now, the born-again believer was speaking in tongues and talking directly to God. This is one of the great benefits of speaking in tongues. And there are so many great benefits. You're praying in the Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15, as well as in Ephesians 6, 18. You're magnifying God when you speak in tongues, according to Acts 10, 46. You are built up or edified, according to 1 Corinthians 14, 4. When you speak in tongues, you're giving thanks well to God, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 16. And you make intercessory prayer as you speak in tongues for others, Romans 8, 26 and 27. You know, these are just a few of the great benefits of speaking in tongues. Another amazing aspect I want to share with you, and it connects to Hebrews 13, 15, which says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." To be able to praise our God, our Father, continually should be our passion of gratitude. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. How true this is when we speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 16 talks about it is a blessing with the Spirit. You bless with the Spirit. Verse 17, you're giving thanks well as you speak in tongues. What a monumental time that was on the day of Pentecost when the believers were manifesting this new gift of Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, they were praising God by way of their lips, giving thanks to Him because they spoke in tongues. Pretty wild. What a great day the day of Pentecost is. So let's kind of wrap this up. You know, God should be praised and honored for all that He has done for us, which started on the day of Pentecost. And of course, this was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, on that special feast day, recognizing the first fruits of the Spirit, the day of Pentecost. It happened where God was, in the temple. And what was given was a new creation in Christ, being born again with the gift of Holy Spirit, highlighted by this new manifestation of speaking in tongues. So we've got a lot to be thankful for, to be grateful for, that this day of Pentecost occurred, and so much happened. And now we live several thousand, 2,000 years from that time, and we can still do those great things that they do in the book of Acts, because they walked by the Spirit. They operated the Spirit of God in their life. They operated and utilized the manifestations of Holy Spirit. So may we continue to walk on His Word. May we continue to utilize the Spirit of God that our Heavenly Father has given us, and that we may worship Him in spirit and in truth, that we can speak in tongues much. What a glory, what a privilege. We are certainly a special people before our Heavenly Father. So I'd like to close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that we can think about this special day of Pentecost and what has really happened that changed the hearts of people's lives, that they could be filled with the fullness of that gift of Holy Spirit, that eternal Spirit, that they can have the hope of Christ's return in their hearts, that they can walk by the Spirit, operating the manifestations of Holy Spirit. We are so grateful, Father, to have this lifestyle, to know You, to fellowship with You at any and every time. You are awesome, God. We love You and thank You for all that You've done to make this all available to us. And I thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.